Now to Broward County, Florida, where 17 people were killed in the attack on Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. The school board passed a resolution this week calling on Congress to ban assault weapons, require universal background checks, and expand school gun-free zones. They dismissed the idea of arming teachers. Many of the solutions that others, including President Trump, have reached in thinking of ways to deal with school shootings are about school hardening, more security, more people who are armed. But is there a danger in turning schools into prisons for the sake of safety? For more, we're joined by Pedro Noguera. He's a professor of education at UCLA and director of the Center for the Transformation of Schools. Professor, welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And make your case for us. What is the danger in hardening schools?
Well, if you think about it, I mean, the purpose of school is to create an environment where kids can learn, where they are able to develop and explore and hopefully to grow. And you don't do that in an unsafe atmosphere for sure, but you also don't do it in an atmosphere that where there's a hyper sense of security. Security tends to actually make us feel more stressed and less able to relax when there are people around with guns who are patrolling. So I think it's something we need to be very careful about. The real work we need to do has to take place in our society to make our society safer than it is right now.
Well, what do you mean by that? How do you make the society safer? You're just talking about gun laws or what?
If you think about the social contract on which safety is premised, right, that the idea is that we're not safe simply because we have police officers with guns. We're safe because people respect the laws. We're safe because we respect each other. And we need to find ways to reinforce those bonds of solidarity in our society that allow us to live a safe and comfortable life. And if we don't have that, if we live in a society where there are too many people who are alienated and estranged and where so many people have access to weapons, then we find that all of us are vulnerable, whether we're at school or at church or at a movie theater. And so we need to really figure out what are we going to do to not only reduce the availability of guns, but to strengthen the bonds that keep society safe and maintain a civil level of social relationships.
You make the connection to inner city schools, that we're talking about this now in schools in maybe suburban areas, more majority white population, but that this is something that schools with a majority population of people of color have been dealing with for a long time.
That's right. And in urban schools, it tends to be that the nature of violence is different. It tends to be that there are concerns about safety coming from the neighborhood. But it also tends to be that when there are violent incidents in schools, they're rarely random. They're rarely someone just shooting up everyone. Rather, it's individuals who have conflict with one another, engaging in violence. And so there's a different nature. And so you have to take different precautions to address those kinds of problems.
And does it make a difference in those schools to have had, for example, metal detectors to get through the doors?
Metal detectors actually are very ineffective because if you just think about it, there's so many other ways to get a weapon into a school other than going through the front door. So again, if you're just relying on security, you're not going to really keep a school safe. If kids know and trust the adults, they'll let you know if a problem is brewing. They'll let you know if a child, another student has a weapon on them.
I think back to my high school experience, and I was in high school when Columbine happened. But our school was very proud of being very open. And in fact, people didn't even lock their lockers. It's kind of unusual, but there is a benefit, isn't there, to that feeling of freedom and openness in a school?
There is a benefit to those feelings, and I think that we don't want to lose that. We don't want to, in the name of security, turn our schools into prisons. I like to point out to people, prisons are not safe places, so why would that be the model? Safety, as I said, is a product of relationships. It's when we know each other, when we're looking out for each other, when students feel connected, that schools are ultimately safer. And that's what we need to invest in. Money is right now that we're investing in metal detectors and security guards would be better spent on counselors and social workers and psychologists, the people who can serve as a resource to children. Again, it's not to say there aren't times when more security is needed. But I think if that's the only thing we rely on, we will find ourselves really damaging the learning environment for many of our kids.
After the Newtown attack, they had to rebuild the school at Sandy Hook, and they did it keeping in mind that they wanted it to have a feeling of openness. Is there a school that you can think of that's doing things right?
Oh, I could think of many schools like that, and including schools that are in very challenging neighborhoods. And again, it's because of the time spent building relationships. I work with a school like that in Los Angeles now. It's surrounded by gangs. It's in a very poor community. They haven't had a fight at the school in 7 years. But they spend the first day of school just building relationships. And what I've heard from the teachers there is that students will approach them and let them know when there are problems because they've taken time to build the relationship and establish some trust. And so while it might seem trite, the fact is that trust and strong relationships are a security measure.
That's Pedro Noguera, who's a professor of education at UCLA and director of the Center for the Transformation of Schools. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.